comes this morning from 2 Timothy, the second epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be ye partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phrygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy also unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Verse 5 is the text this morning. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. A blessed Mother's Day to mothers here and grandmothers here. And this is important not just for those who are mothers, but for you men maybe that are single, the husbands, For God has ordered society. God has ordered that the family is the basis, the foundation of society and of the church. It is in our families, in the lines of generation, that Christ Jesus is continuing to gather and to build his church. And through the faith of fathers and mothers and grandparents, preserving us in that faith. This letter is written to Timothy after his first imprisonment for a couple years, and he was set free again to do work, possibly even going all the way to Spain. And then again he was imprisoned, and soon he would die. Oh, how the Apostle Paul desired to go to Rome when he was imprisoned the first time. How he desired to go to the ends of the world to preach the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul wanted now Timothy to come join him as he is imprisoned now a second time. He longs to see him. And many others had completely forsaken Paul. They were ashamed of Paul and Christianity because look what the government was doing to them, putting them into jail. And so the Apostle Paul writes this letter to Timothy, but no doubt also intended not only Timothy, but then those to whom Timothy would minister, and still today by the Holy Spirit, God's church. He wants to write to Timothy to encourage him in his faith and in his work as a young minister. It appears that young Timothy was a very timid person. And there were those in the churches that were giving a lot of trouble alongside of the persecution that was coming from Rome. The apostle remembers and greatly desires to see Timothy, whom he calls, as you read in this chapter, his dearly beloved son in the faith. Which faith the apostle Paul gives thanks for. And that is also the way that I speak to you this morning as I bring God's word. God has placed me here in your midst, and I see you as my sons and my daughters by faith, desiring that you and along with I may have an unfeigned faith that dwelt in Lois and in Eunice and also in young Timothy. So on this Mother's Day, the theme, Godly Mothers in Zion. Boys and girls, Zion is a name for the church. It was an Old Testament type. God coming to his people. The temple there in on Mount Zion. But it looks forward to the church today. So we're really talking about godly mothers in the church. Notice these two, a mother and a grandmother, Lois and Eunice. Notice, second of all, their godly son, Timothy. And notice, because of the faith that dwelt in them, there is a cause for thanks and for prayers. Lois and Eunice. The apostle says, I thank God and I keep in remembrance in my prayers night and day when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. These women possessed faith. They were godly women. We don't know a lot about the family. Scripture doesn't try to tease our imaginations and give all kinds of answers. So we don't know anything about Timothy's father except that he was a Greek and probably not a person of faith. And that is why the Apostle Paul talks about these women, Lois and Eunice. And that faith that is in them is not some kind of bare or fleeting or momentary feeling, but it is an abiding, indwelling principle in their lives which produces fruit in their lives. The Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 7 describes faith as a sure knowledge of all that God has revealed to us of himself in the Word. And with that sure knowledge of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, there is then, second of all, also an assured certainty or confidence. Assurance that not only for others, but that Christ Jesus came into this world, suffered and died for my sins. And by his Spirit dwells in my heart and one day is going to come for me. What is that faith of Lois and Eunice? Well, that faith would have been the Old Testament faith of God who would send the Lamb of God into this world. It was the Old Testament faith looking forward to when the day would come when the Messiah would appear and save his people. And with that hope, you boys and girls hopefully remember the first missionary journey when the Apostle Paul on that first journey went through the churches of Asia Minor. Antioch, Iconium, and then finally Lystra and Derbe. Preaching there first of all in the synagogue and then after the synagogue also opening up and preaching to the Gentiles, which also caused trouble, so that the Apostle Paul was stoned for his faith and left as dead outside the city of Lystra. There on that first missionary journey, he preached Jesus Christ. He caused the folks there in Lystra to know that that Old Testament promise of a Messiah has been fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ has come, has suffered and died for our sins, and is the risen Savior, and he is now in heaven and once again is going to come at the end of the age. Oh, what beautiful fruit of the preaching of the gospel, where men and women and children are brought to faith, where a Lois and a Eunice and young Timothy were introduced to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who has come and has brought salvation through his cross and is coming again. What a faith. A faith in the long promise of the Messiah and now knowing that promise was fulfilled. And you'll notice that the Apostle Paul then says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. That word unfeigned stands in contrast to a hypocrite faith. That is, a faith where one mouths the words, I belong to God, I believe in Jesus Christ, but it doesn't come from the heart. It is a faith that is real. It is a faith that is true. It is a faith that proceeds from that regenerated heart and causes one to live in accordance with that hope that is within us. So that unfeigned faith stands opposed to all that which is sham, that is just a show or outward obedience. Lois and Eunice, along with their son and their grandson, are disciples of Jesus. They believed the gospel. The Apostle Paul, on his second missionary journey, is able to come back again to all those cities in Asia Minor. And we read in Acts chapter 16, "Then came he," that is Paul, "to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." No, it was not the father that handed down the faith of Christ Jesus. He didn't possess that faith. He was a heathen. But a godly mother and a godly grandmother possessed that unfeigned faith that burned in their hearts. And they passed it down to Timothy. We don't know if there were other children in the family. The scripture doesn't satisfy our curiosity. Just like we're not made aware of the Apostle Paul's family, except we know that it was his nephew who spoke to the authorities in Jerusalem and exposed what the evil Jews were going to do. We don't know who Peter's mother is or his wife was. Those things aren't necessary. But what is recorded here is the very way that the Lord was working in the life of young Timothy. The word of God came by the missionary Paul and Barnabas there to Lystra and Derbe. The people believed. And now as he comes back on the second missionary journey, he finds a young Timothy there and wants him in the work. What a beautiful faith. God uses these godly women then and still today. Is yours, mothers, grandmothers, is yours an unfeigned faith? You believe in your heart. You are like those two travelers on the way to Emmaus that when the word or the scriptures were opened up to them, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" And with those burning hearts, they can't keep silent about their faith, but it's a vocal faith. Unfeigned faith of your mother and grandmother. And the Apostle Paul says, "I trust also in you." What a glorious calling these two women carried out. It is the Apostle Paul that he is sure of this, that God was using those godly women. And God continues to use godly mothers and grandmothers to pass on their faith in Christ Jesus, to their children and to their grandchildren. Instruments in God's hand. Oh yes, it is God alone who can work faith. But God uses, he's pleased to use sinners, redeemed sinners, believers in Christ Jesus, as instruments in his hand to teach. What is that unfeigned faith? It is that connection to Christ Jesus. Isn't it a tie, a bond to Christ Jesus? And that's what our worship service and that's what your Bible studies are all about, aren't they, at home? That you have a relationship with Christ Jesus. You're made one with him, as a bride is made one with her husband in marriage. Instruments in God's hand. And where is Timothy's father? a Greek, a heathen, one who did not share faith in God. Young Timothy did not get his knowledge. He was not taught by his father, but by a godly grandmother and a godly mother. And if God has made you a grandmother or a mother in Zion, there's no greater calling in all of the world than to bring your little ones to Jesus. Lois and Eunice, instruments in God's hand, women of faith who passed on their knowledge and their love, their devotion to Jesus Christ, to young Timothy. So let's go to our second point then, to look at him who was instructed by Lois and Eunice. The name Timothy, or the name Timotheus, means honoring and worshiping God. So these women, when they named young Timothy before the apostle's first visit there to Lystra, they had a faith in God, and so this little boy there gets this name, honoring or worshiping God. Originally, that was a heathen name. But devout Jews and devout Christians adopted that name with reference to their God and their Savior, honoring and worshiping God. And how young Timothy must have been amenable, that is, easily swayed, led by the Spirit and by the testimony of these loving mothers and grandmother. He cares for God's people. Let me read a couple of verses from Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of a good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are in Christ Jesus. But ye know the proof of him, that is of Timothy, that as a son with a father, he hath served me in the gospel. And him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. This young man taught by Lois and Eunice has a heart for Christ Jesus, has a heart for the gospel. And that's why in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, when the Apostle Paul comes back with Silas to Lystra, he sees this godly young man. He sees the love in his heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Paul wants to take him along with him on his missionary journeys. And young Timothy becomes then one of the great preachers of the early church. Timothy, unswerving in his faithfulness, unwavering in his willingness even to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel, Timothy becomes one of Paul's most faithful helpers and a preacher. Where does this faith come from? Yes, it is Lois and Eunice that are passing on the content of their faith, but the reality, that is, the faith itself, comes from God, doesn't it? Not one of you mothers or grandmothers or fathers can work faith in your kids' hearts or lives. Not one. It is God alone who in regeneration works faith in the heart without any means. And having placed faith there then causes these little children in their youth to hear the beautiful gospel while they're sitting on their mother's laps or on their father's laps or cradled by their grandparents. God uses means, doesn't he, though? He uses means, he uses the preaching of the gospel, and he is pleased to use mothers and grandmothers, godly fathers and godly grandfathers. What a privilege. Do you believe that is a privilege, fathers and mothers, that you can be used by Christ Jesus and by his Spirit to pass on the content of faith to your children? A living faith. A living faith. Not just memorization of facts or memorization of stories, but a faith that burns in one's heart so it changes, it directs one's whole life. There is fruit to a living faith. A fruit where we're sorry for our sins. A fruit where we love the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, and we love his church. A fruit in which we're devoted to Christ Jesus. A fruit where we want to be obedient to Christ so that our lives are pleasing to our God. Yes, it is a living and active faith. You see, those truths that were taught to him as a young man, they are truths that transformed Timothy's life. And it is truths that then also transform the lives to whom Timothy brings the gospel. No wonder the Apostle Paul is so adamant of how he gives thanks to God, and he remembers young Timothy in his prayers night and day. Because whereas there were many who forsook Paul in his suffering, for example, he says, Demas, loving this present world, left Paul. He says, if this is what Christianity means, that I'm going to be persecuted, if that's what Christianity means, that I can't engage in an ungodly life like the world does, I don't want it. They forsook Paul. And toward the end there in Rome, it was Luke who was with the Apostle Paul and Nicephorus who ministered to him, and how Paul desired for his beloved son to come with him, Timothy. No, Timothy didn't have a godly father, but he did have a spiritual father who loved him, who cared about the faith that was in him, who cared about this young man who was rather timid, and it was a difficult time to be a minister and to be a follower of Jesus Christ. God works in these lines of generations, doesn't he? What young Timothy had, there was a synagogue there. So perhaps he was being taught in the synagogue, just as you boys and girls go to the Christian schools and are taught. Are you thankful for those means? But that Christian schools that we have are not given us to take over for the parents, to do the parents' work. They are given to aid the parents so that all those subjects that are there in this crazy changing world, where it might be hard for a parent to keep up with all the ways one does algebra and calculus and science and history, a help to Christian parents, but it does not take the place, does it? It is the home education that is a school of piety. The faith that was living in Lois and then in Eunice and now also in Timothy, a living faith that is passed on. And before the eyes of young Timothy, there was the godly example set by grandmother Lois and mother Eunice. What an important education takes place every day and all the way through the summer in our homes. And may it be an education wherein love for God, a desire to take one's whole life and every occupation and every waking moment and even sleeping moment is lived for God's glory. The Apostle Paul says that Timothy, from a child, knew the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make him wise unto salvation. That is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And the Lord willing, we'll be looking at that this evening. Even as this evening, we see four of our young people coming forward, having been taught from their youth up in the Scriptures from godly mothers and grandmothers. Those who took their children and had them baptized, and now when the children reach the age of maturity, they express their own faith. Oh, what a Mother's Day present we have this evening, don't we? How God is faithful. How God uses godly homes, our Christian schools, the church, to shape and to form our young people, our young adults, to confess Jesus Christ. So as this morning we look at that faith that is passed on, and then this evening that faith that is expressed. Oh, how important is the godly home. You see, it's not important how much money you can rake in. It is not really important what positions you will hold in society. It only lasts there for a little while and it dies with a grave, doesn't it? What is important, what is noteworthy, is if our children walk in the truth. 3 John verse 4, where John says, "No greater joy have I than when my children walk in the truth." The Apostle Paul is saying that as a godly father of those whom he preached to in Ephesus. But before John was a preacher there, Timothy was a preacher there. And that which was burning in his heart, now he brings to God's people in the preaching of the gospel. Oh, may our children walk in the truth. As parents, we might become proud, or we seek diligently that our children have good vocations. Or yes, we have to work if we want to eat. But much more important than the vocation is what's living in their hearts. Is the faith of the fathers, is the faith of the mothers passed on to the child, and from the child then later on in his faith, to their children? Is the faith that is worked in the hearts of our boys and our girls such a faith that the young men desire to be ministers of the gospel, which we need, and the young ladies and the young men in our church want to be teachers in our Christian schools, which we desperately need? Faith. Paul says, "I thank God, and without ceasing I have remembrance of thee, Timothy, in my prayers night and day, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Yes, may God work that faith in our hearts and lives of our children. For no greater sadness or sorrow is there when a parent or a grandparent sees children that were raised in faith desert it, forsake it. I think of a godly young lady who has four very young children. And in the last 2 years, I believe it is, the husband all of a sudden said, I don't believe all this stuff. I don't want anything more of this stuff. And he has forsaken his wife and his precious children. No greater sorrow is there when we see those who are raised in the covenant homes forsaking it, despising it, in order to join the world. And just as the Apostle Paul then, who beholds Timothy as his beloved son, prays for him day and night, isn't that what godly parents and godly grandparents do for their children and their grandchildren? Praying day and night, like Job, busy praying for his married children and their homes. God works this unfeigned faith in our hearts, in our lives, by His Spirit, through His Word, which is taught to little children on their mother's knee. And as they grow up, they continue in that knowledge of the Scriptures. Notice with me in the third place then this morning, what a cause for thanks and what a cause for prayers. Notice, Paul is not thanking now Lois and Eunice for their diligence. But verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. I pray to God for these, for young Timothy, for the children. It is God in the heart of a Lois and a Eunice. It is God who gave them that diligence, that love for God, that love for the gospel, that at every moment in the day, they would speak to young Timothy of Him. It is God who not only used these godly parents, but it is God who used the Apostle Paul coming there to Lystra on his first journey, and then again on the second journey, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ. God uses the Scriptures, using human instruments, where households are brought to faith in Christ Jesus. And it is God who causes that faith that is worked in our hearts to be an unfeigned faith. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed that we're Christians. We're not ashamed when in the restaurant others see us praying before our meal or after our meal. We're not ashamed that we go to a Christian school. We're not ashamed that we belong to this church. Because ours is a God-worked, unfeigned faith. Living and active, loving God, obeying God. God who works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And it was God who caused then this young man to be called in the gospel ministry, of whom the Apostle Paul laid his hand on him and charged him with that work. Oh, mothers and grandmothers, on this day, be thankful to God for that short time that you have your children in your home. I was a pastor in northern Michigan, and I rode with some other pastors down to a meeting out in Iowa for a seminary. It was an older pastor that said to me, and I was a young pastor of, I think, about 27 maybe, he says, you only have your children for about 18 years in your home. Maybe a little longer for some of them, but about 18 years, you have to shape and to mold them, to teach them by example and by words. And that hit me at that time because my oldest son then was 6 years old. I thought, one third of my time is over already? Oh, cherish, mothers, cherish this time that you have those little ones in the home. Don't wish ahead and say, I can't wait till they grow up and I'm not so busy. Cherish that time as you share the gospel with them. Give thanks to God that He has given you these children in your home, our grandchildren that you live nearby, so that you have the strength, the knowledge that you can pass on that faith to the next generation. So there is a cause for thanksgiving, first of all, but then second of all, there is a cause for real prayer, isn't it? Paul says to Timothy, I have prayed night and day for you. Oh, parents, keep on praying. Grandparents, keep on praying. You don't know. Maybe you've got a rather rebellious child. One that perhaps for a little while is backsliding and walking in terrible sin. Are you praying for them or did you give up? Do you say it's hopeless? Keep praying to God. For it is only God who can work faith, shape a Christian for Himself. Yes, pray that your children may continue in the things which they have learned, knowing the Scriptures. But that's tonight's Scripture lesson, isn't it? Pray that in whatever calling the Lord gives us, it's a calling from God, that in that calling, we don't first of all think about how much money can I get paid. And we don't think first, second of all, how do others in society look at me. But in whatever calling our children pursue, that their idea is, I want to aim for the glory of God. Pray. Pray that God will preserve and keep and bless your children in this wicked world. There are temptations today. There are so many different avenues today in this wicked world that weren't there when I was a young boy. Screen time. What kind of things are the children watching? What are you allowing them to watch? Pray that the Lord will preserve our children in faith. Bless them. And then with Proverbs 31, you husbands, say thank you to your wife. Call her blessed. Praise her in the gates. What a gift God has given to us in godly mothers, godly grandmothers. And you fathers, not only, but then the children also. Boys and girls, when you go home and mom has the table set again for you to eat, and dad and mom open up the Scriptures, say thank you to them. Thank God that God gave you godly mothers, grandmothers that care for you. I know sometimes when we get a little bit older, then we say, I don't really want them to tell me what to do. Be thankful that you have parents that care enough for you that they tell you what to do, what to believe. You see, it's only lazy parents that say, I don't feel like it. I'll let the kids decide for themselves. Say thank you. Thank you, God, for my mother, for my father, who loved the Lord Jesus and lived for Him. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that this morning we could look at that miracle that took place long ago in Lystra, where godly women raised in the Old Testament era of knowing about the promise of a Messiah, hear the gospel preached to them, and they believe in Jesus and their household. And we thank thee that those miracles continue still today. Mothers and grandmothers used by thee to teach the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Receive our thanks then, Father. Bless our children that they may be indeed a watered garden that springs up and bears fruit in its season. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.